where we now present part four of The 12 Maidens.
The 12 Maidens. A serial for radio in six parts by Stuart Farrer. Part 4, Black Midsummer. Peter Brent and Margaret Govan are working on Biodar, a new form of radar which can pick up sentient life. When they come across evidence that black magic is being practiced on Maiden Tor, a nearby hilltop, their colleague, Dr. Carl Ewing, calls in the help of two white witch friends, Donald Williams and his sister Bridget. Margaret, who proves to be naturally psychic, is initiated as a witch by Donald and Bridget. She suggests an experiment to find out if the Biodar equipment can detect magical activity.
Right, Margaret. As soon as the circle's cast, all the power we can raise. I conjure thee, O circle of power, that thou beest a meeting place of love and joy and truth, a boundary between the world of men and the realms of the mighty ones, a guardian and protection that shall preserve and contain the power that we shall raise within thee.
Well, the break's clear enough. Three of them in one room gives a nice healthy blip.
I can't quite separate them, but you can see they're moving round by the way the brake pulses.
That's all we will see. It's a sheer waste of time.
Is it, though? Peter, look. The brake's growing. Crikey. Three people, and they're given a Biodar brake that looks like 50.
What the hell can that mean? Well, there can only be three of them. The cottage is half a mile from anywhere. We'd have seen anybody approaching it on A2.
Come off it, Peter. It means that three people are producing that huge brake. And what are they doing that's different? They've cast a magic circle and they're raising power. That's what Margaret arranged, and that's what we're picking up. What are you doing?
Ringing them up, telling them.
No, put it down.
Okay, but why?
Those three are in the circle, busting their psychic guts for our benefit. Let them finish in their own time. If we try to break in suddenly, it'd be like slamming a door in front of a sprinter.
What made you such an expert on magic all at once?
That's not magic, it's common sense.
Oh, yes, I suppose you're right.
Hello. Margaret's not with you. I wanted a word.
Come over here, Carl. Take a look at A-tube on bearing 307.
What on earth's that? Public meeting on the moors?
No, it's Bridget, Donald and Margaret. Just those three in a magic circle.
You're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. Margaret had a hunch that when magic was being worked, it might show up in some way on Biodar, so she left us here to watch while she nipped over to Bridget and Donald's cottage to get them to cast a circle with her. That is the result.
And it's still growing, I think.
Good Lord. You realise the implications?
I haven't had time to think about those. It only happened a minute before you walked in.
Well, since Tom McKinnon died with his invention early in the mock-up stage, we've been developing Biodar by trial and error without getting any nearer to understanding why it works.
Well, you think this puts us any nearer?
Well, yes, it must, surely. By proving that the strength of a Biodar echo is related to psychic activity.
Yes, if there is such thing. That could be strong emotion, glandular activity.
Oh, Peter, you've got the village and 30 or 40 farms in Biodar range, probably getting on for 1,000 people. At almost any moment, at least one or two of them will be in a tiring rage or making love or overcome by grief. Have you ever seen a break flare up on the tube there? If it were just emotion, they'd all be waxing and waning like mad. No. This is something quite different. They may be linked, mind you, but this is obviously the one that matters.
Well, back to the drawing board. I've been working for a year on something I didn't believe existed. Or if it did, it was so tenuous and elusive, it might as well be ignored. And there it is. Practically blowing holes in cathode ray tubes.
Oh, cheer up, Peter. How do you think I feel? I've been working for that year, trying to find a link, if any, between Biodar and my own field of psychical research. Then you lot, the slide rule and screwdriver boys, do a simple experiment which steals all my thunder. I could strangle you.
Brake's beginning to shrink a little now, I think. Still looks like firework night, but it's going down.
I'm not surprised. They probably put everything they'd got into giving you what you wanted right away, and they'll have drained themselves.
Yes, but at nearly 5,000 metres. I'd hate to try it at 1,000. Unless the inverse square law has gone out of the window too.
Well, it never did apply to psychic or telepathic phenomena, or so all the evidence suggests.
Oh, I give up.
Fading fast now. Whoa, look at that.
Well, it's back to normal.
And in 2 seconds flat, it just flopped.
But why? You'd think it'd fade on an exponential curve. Yeah.
I will lay a small bet that...
Extension 7. Yes, ma'am. Okay, see you soon.
Oh, that was quick.
Well, I'm not saying anything that matters over that damn thing. I wouldn't put it past our precious security bonds to have all calls tapped. But I don't want them nosing around till we've had a think about this.
Yeah, that's quite right. I'd have won my bet then.
What was it going to be?
Well, that they'd just banished the circle at the moment when the break went back suddenly to normal. Ah, yes. Things are beginning to fit together very nicely.
Lend them in, will you, Bridget?
Oh, yes, on my way. Well, you didn't waste much time. Come inside, all of you.
Hello, Bridget. Margaret's still with you, isn't she?
Oh, yes, of course. She and Donald are getting some tea. It's all laid out. Oh. We knew you'd be on your way.
Ah, that looks just what I need.
Hello, boys.
Hello, darling.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Margaret. Sit yourself down.
First of all, who is the handsome soldier?
Hmm? You haven't met. This is George, Sergeant Blake, Remy.
Hello.
George, this is Bridget Williams.
How do you do?
And her brother Donald.
Hello, how do you do?
Well, sit down, George. You've got a good aura. Do you know that?
So my aunt used to tell me she could see them too.
Aha, uh-huh. In the family, I thought so.
Oh, only on my mother's side, though. My dad used to say she bewitched him. Not that he minded, but he wouldn't have had her sister in the house if he could help it. Said he felt he was under an X-ray.
George, you never told us.
I didn't think of it.
Well, family history later. Now, did it work? Did you pick up anything?
Oh, you only damn near blew the tubes.
What?
The break from this cottage looked like 50 people.
Really? Marvellous!
Yeah, we had the three of you on tube, quite normal, till about 2 minutes after you phoned to say you'd started. Then the brake shut up. It went on growing a bit for another couple of minutes and then began to shrink a little. And say, 15 seconds before you phoned again, it suddenly flopped back to normal.
Well, we can pinpoint that exactly. I'd banished the circle. It must have taken just about 15 seconds from then for Margaret to cross the room, pick up the phone and get through to you.
Oh, this is very interesting. Whose idea was it?
Margaret.
Oh, well, only to do the experiment. George put us onto it by worrying about that Bayadar blackout round Maiden Tor.
Well, I thought you'd all been worrying about it.
So we have. But after we found those wax images up on the Tor, we just took it for granted that whoever was working black magic up there had found some way of putting out a screen to hide themselves.
You took it for granted. I thought there must be a scientific explanation.
Well, anyway, George suddenly pointed out that they hadn't hidden themselves. They'd just drawn attention to themselves. That blank sector on the Bayadar screen stuck out like a sore thumb and it made us go and look. But for that, we'd never have found the images.
Yes, come to think of it, that is odd. But why did they?
Well, our guess was that they knew, somehow, the effect their working would have on the Bayadar screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to sabotage it altogether by killing Tom McKinnon, then making Phil Jessop ill.
Ah.
And at the same time, they tried to put up a camouflage to hide what was happening on Maiden Tor. Only they didn't know their own strength. They overdid it. And instead of camouflage, they produced that complete blackout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could that happen, do you think?
Oh, certainly it could. Black magic workers often do that. They use a sledgehammer to crack a nut, and it bounces back on them. Lovely.
You see what it means, though? They know we're onto them, because we've felt them reacting to us. But maybe they don't know they've shown us where they're working.
But wouldn't they have found the images missing?
Probably not. Those images look to me as though they'd been buried for good. Oh, dear. Poor Peter. What are you making of all this, you and your rationalism?
Well, frankly, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I'm not giving up yet, mind you. I'm still not convinced there's no scientific explanation, even for that huge break you three produced just now.
Well, who says there isn't? Magic and science aren't incompatible. It's just that most science ignores most of the levels of reality. And maybe with your Bayadar, you're onto a real breakthrough in correlating the two.
That's a thought.
After all, what have you got there? An instrument capable of locating and measuring the power raised in a magic circle. Oh, I like that.
I'm not sure that I do. It sounds big brotherish to me.
Well, I think only the left-hand path need be afraid of it, as they clearly are.
Oh, yes.
Well, look, everybody, I'm as fascinated as you are, and I can see years of work ahead for me. But shall we get back to immediate business? We're trying to scotch a black coven that apparently doesn't stop at murder. Now, we can't tell our boss because he'd think we were mad. As for telling security, they'd think we were even madder and either get us locked up or have us working under 24-hour surveillance. So it's on our shoulders.
Good for you, Carl.
Oh, thank you. But what do we do?
Well, we'll certainly keep on working in our own way, but I'm all for attacking on both flanks. What does the soldier say?
The soldier says if you've discovered the enemy's hideout, you do a recce to find out what he's up to.
You know, I like that man.
Question is, when he's most likely to be up to it?
You mean actually try to catch them at it, up there on Maiden Tor?
Just watch them at it at this stage. Thank you. Little Tor is only a quarter of a mile from Maiden Tor and a few feet lower. If you hide someone up there with field glasses, you get a pretty good view of what's going on.
Yes, and identify them, maybe.
Yeah.
Good idea, George. When?
Midsummer. It's only 3 nights away, and it's a full moon. They won't miss both those together.
That's what I thought you'd say. Well, Peter?
Hmm? Oh, okay, okay. I don't mind catching pneumonia.
Rex.
Yes, Susan?
We're going to have to do something about that Williams couple.
We've already checked up on them. They seem harmless enough to me.
I still think they're a security risk.
Why?
Oh, call it a hunch. All right, so they are old friends of Carl Ewing's. We've confirmed that. I don't like the way the rest of the research team are palling up with them.
Who?
Peter Brent, Margaret Govan, Sergeant Blake. They're all at the Williams Cottage now with Carl.
Hmm. But it's only 5 o'clock. Working hours.
Exactly. I know this lot don't work by the clock, but you'd expect them to be on the job at this time, wouldn't you? And those four, they're just the ones who've shown they resent us being here at all. They don't think Bayadar should be a security matter, and they've said so.
On the other hand, they've been quite frank about it and said they'd keep to the rules nonetheless. If they were going to talk, either they'd have kept their feelings quiet or they wouldn't have promised to cooperate.
I still don't like it. Why are they there in working hours? It was only 3 o'clock when Margaret Govan drove there in Brent's car. Not yet 4 when the other three followed in Carl Ewing's.
Any phone calls, I wonder?
So do I. Let's run the monitor tape.
Good idea.
Well, there's not much used. Must have been a quiet afternoon.
All I want is one more copy type. Surely the ministry can run to that.
You'll be lucky.
Transfer charge call to Longbroughton 379. My name's Andrews.
All right, Rex. I won't eavesdrop on you.
Extension 7.
Ah.
Peter?
Yes?
About 2 minutes, but it might take longer to build up.
Right.
Bye.
Pretty cryptic. Any more?
Extension 7.
Peter?
Yes, ma'am.
We've finished.
Okay. See you soon.
Well, Rex?
Altogether too cryptic. Out of character for those two. Must be deliberate.
Mm.
You're right. I don't like it.
Then what are you going to do about it?
Oh, Andrews, those damn passes you've cooked up. Could I have a word with you about them?
Certainly, Professor. What's the trouble?
The whole thing's the trouble. Much more nuisance than they're worth, if you ask me.
And now look here,
all
Professor.
All right. I suppose they're necessary.
They are, I'm afraid.
Come and give me 10 minutes on them, then.
All right. Don't do anything on that yet, Susan. I'll have to think about it. Coming, Professor.
It needs more than thinking, my friend. To know, to will, to dare, and to be silent.
All ready to go then?
Yes, all ready.
You sure you don't want me to drive you up? It's a fairish walk to Little Tor.
Oh, no, thanks, George.
Right.
Not if I'm to keep myself out of sight. I'll climb Little Tor from the west side and hide before the moon's out.
Have you checked the walkie-talkies, Peter? We don't want you out of touch.
George and I have just checked them. Anyway, you two can sit here in comfort and track me on Bida.
Oh, not all the time. You'll be in dead ground on that side of Little Tor.
Only for about 10 minutes as I start to climb. We've checked that, too.
Oh, well,
worrying so much, Carl. I'll call you up as soon as I'm in position, I promise.
And if anything does happen on Maiden Tor, just observe. Don't get any heroic ideas about intervening.
Across 400 yards of rough moorland at night? You must be joking.
It may be a long night and a tiring one.
Mm. Well, at least we'll be more comfortable in here with that fire going than Peter will be out on Little Tor.
A very practical witch, my sister. She casts a circle, you notice, with the hearth inside it so that we can keep it fed.
Well, the cottage is made for it. The hearth's in the south where the fire element should be.
When do we start?
Well, we'll cast the circle just before midnight, unless one of us picks up something earlier we feel we need it. So we'll hold ourselves ready from now on.
Ah, here comes Peter out of the dead ground. See?
Yes. Do you want me to take over range or bearing or something?
No need. I'll switch to automatic tracking. Should work smoothly up there where he's an isolated target. Watch the bearing too, will you?
Yes.
Range steady. Angle steady.
Bearing steady.
Right.
The break from the cottage is still normal on A-tube, so they haven't cast the circle yet.
Oh, give them time. That Bridget will know when it's needed.
Oh, she seems to have impressed you.
She has.
As a witch or as a woman?
Easy to Fox. Easy to Fox. Are you receiving me? Over.
Fox to Easy, loud and clear. Over.
Easy to Fox. Okay, I'll wait till there's something to report. Over.
Fox to Easy. Roger. Over and out.
I was in love with her once.
That wouldn't be difficult. Nothing come of it?
I couldn't follow where she was going, not then.
And now?
The moment's gone. It'd be trying to fan ashes. Mm. The old joke about we're just good friends is bitterest when it's true, Sergeant.
Rough. Extension 7. Right, Corporal. Relax. But if I do call you out, I want you on the road in 30 seconds and no missing. Right? Good. I didn't tell Peter, but I've got Lance Corporal Davis and 3 lads standing by with a Land Rover. I didn't say what it was about. Just told them to be ready as from 2200. Old Bob Davis is eaten up with curiosity.
Will we need them, do you think?
Oh, hanged if I know. But if something does blow up, I don't want us to be caught with egg on our face.
Oh, very wise.
And when my book came out and there wasn't a word on him in it, he never spoke to me again. Oh. There was another time there
Donald,
was a woman.
Just a minute. Yes. Sam getting it too.
Break away from it. Don't let it reach you. What? It's malignant as hell. Margaret, the candles. Donald, the sensor. Aye. Close off quick. Into the circle.
Easy to Fox. Are you receiving me? Over.
Fox to Easy. Loud and clear. Anything happening? Over.
Easy to Fox. Yes, it looks like it. How about the cottage? Over.
Fox to Easy. Same as last time, from 10 minutes ago, and still maximum. But no brakes moving towards Maiden Tor. If you can see anyone, they must have come up on the dead ground side. Over.
Easy to Fox. Yes, they did. About a dozen of them, all cloaked. It's hard to count because they're bunched together in the circle of stones now. The 12 maidens, I mean. I can see them pretty well with the glasses, though. The moon's well up to my left. Hold on. 2 of them are standing by the altar stone now. Good Lord. The taller one's wearing a stag mask or something. Great antlers. Now the rest of them are circling round, slowly, anti-clockwise.
Oh, yes, they would. Widdershins, the left-hand path.
The 2 in the middle are facing each other across the altar stone, raising their arms. Ah, now that their sleeves have slid back, I'm pretty sure the one with the antlers is a man and the other one's a woman. The rest are circling faster. I think the man and the woman are chanting something, taking it in turns, like responses. I wish I could hear them.
Perhaps it's just as well he can't.
They're circling faster. Faster.
Faster. Faster.
Margaret, try not to let go. It'll be too much for you.
Yes, I'm all right. I just keep getting flashes of things.
So do we all. But we have to keep on top of them. Now, just breathe calmly. And hang on to your willpower. Margaret?
Oh,
she's out.
She's projected. I can feel her. Donald, are you fit?
Aye.
Go after her. Keep her in the circle. I'll watch over both of you. Lie down now.
Margaret.
Yes, Donald?
Stay in the circle. I'm with you.
Of course we can't leave the circle. We're both lying down there, with Bridget watching over us. I can see us.
Our physical bodies are.
What are these, then?
Our astral bodies. Don't worry, they're quite real. Here, feel my hand.
The house seems transparent.
It's what you make it.
I can see Maiden Tor. It's on fire, but the flames are black.
Don't look at it. It may glamour you.
But we ought to be fighting it.
Look at me. We are fighting it. When black magic attacks you, if you resist it successfully, the attack recoils on itself. Resist. Resist. Resist.
Sergeant, look at A-tube. Maiden Tor.
Good Lord, a break.
Yeah, that's a strange sort of break there.
Hang on, I'll pick it up on B, C, and D. Bearing 252, range 3160, angle plus 3.
Got it. But what the hell is it?
I'll tell you what it is, Doctor. It's a negative break. The sort of break that ought to be made by a dozen or so people, but completely reversed in phase. And that cannot happen.
Nor could the blackout. And when you add whatever they're doing up there, maybe it's strong enough to drive outwards through the barrier and produce that effect. Anyhow, it's happening.
Fox to Easy. What goes on now? Over?
Easy to Fox. I don't know. The rest are still circling round. They must be pretty giddy by now. But the man and the woman are doing things on the altar stone with various objects. And I can't see what they are. Wait a minute. Now they're picking up the objects and handing them to the others circling round. The altar's clear now, I think. Yes, they're standing opposite each other again now. And she's letting her robe drop. Now she's lying down on the altar naked. Hell! It's Herb! Of all people!
Who, for God's sake?
Now he's dropped his robe too. Just got the mask on. He's circling round her with his arms raised. The others have stopped circling. They're standing one in front of each of the 12 maidens. No, two of them are coming forward. One's carrying something. And a knife. He's given the man that. Now the other one's taking the man's mask off. I thought so. I could have sworn he was in on it, and damn it, he's the boss. Wait a minute. He's holding up the knife. And saying something. Oh, it's hot up here. I've got sweat in my eyes. I can't see properly.
Hot? What is he talking about?
Oh, no. No. Ah! Blood. All over. She's...
Fox to Easy. Come in, please. Over. Fox to Easy. Come in, please. Over.
I don't think he can, Sergeant.
Right then, as close as you can get the Maiden Tor in the vehicle, then up you'll light the clappers on foot to the summit.
What are we looking for, Sarge?
Whatever you find, people or things, whichever it is, round them up. Have you personally checked that all the weapons are unloaded?
Yes, Sarge.
Right, use them to threaten with if anyone argues, and report to me by walkie-talkie as soon as there is anything to report.
Right, Sarge.
Get cracking, then.
Shouldn't take us more than 5 minutes to reach the side of Little Tor, but there's a good 10 minutes climb after that.
Then we have to find Peter and get him down.
How are you feeling now, Margaret?
Oh, all right, I think.
Give her some wine, Donald.
All right. There you are, Margaret.
Thank you. Oh, I'm glad Donald came after me, though. I'd have been projected away up that hill. Could I have?
Certainly you could have, though I don't like to think what would have happened. You've got a very loose astral body. You're going to have to learn to control it.
Yes. Oh. Hmm? It's Peter.
What is it?
He needs help. Please, quickly.
Over this way, I think.
I wonder
If we dare call out.
I'd rather not. The wind's blowing towards Maiden Tor.
Yeah. Over there. Huh? Look. Peter? Peter. He's out cold.
We should have brought a stretcher.
Never mind, we'll manage. Here, you take his glasses and things, and I'll carry him over my shoulder.
Well, let me have a look at him first, though most people have forgotten it. I am a doctor of medicine.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. I always thought it was philosophy or something.
Oh, I think it's all right now. Peter's safe.
Yes, I get that too. Come on, let's banish the circle.
He'll do. Nothing physical as far as I can see, but we'd better get him indoors.
Dog to Abel, are you receiving me? Over.
Abel to dog, loud and clear. Over.
Dog to Abel, we're at the top of the Maiden Tor, Sarge, but there's nobody here. Over.
Abel to dog. Anything else? Over.
Dog to Abel. Yes, Sarge, there is. A flaming cockerel with its throat cut on that big stone in the middle. It's still warm, so it can't have been dead long. There's blood all over the place.
That was part 4 of The 12 Maidens by Stuart Farrow. Listen to the next episode of David H. Godfrey's production of The 12 Maidens, The Challenge.
The story continues next week. But can anyone revive Peter in time, or is it too late? And a confrontation with two of the masterminds of Bayadar leads to threats being issued as the adventure rattles along through its penultimate episode. Righto, that's it. But do pop into the Dimension again next weekend, please. It's the stuff of nightmares. I mean, literally, for Saturday's solo offering is a brilliant play. Really unsettling. And it's called Nightmares. And the stuff is, well, I've chatted to both the writer and the director for a little insight into the making of a story which has a fantastic cast. I mean, Hollywood's David Harewood is bottom of the credits. That should tell you something about how stuffed with talent it is. Spooky footsteps, masked grotesques, and unwanted calls all conspire to make the bumpiest of nights for Gilly when the seventh dimension goes about its business next week.